Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin a study here this morning that will span the next several weeks, I suppose. The book Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. Now, Paul is not writing sight unseen. In some of the books, you get the impression that he is writing by way of introduction. He's going to be coming to them, but he's not been there yet. In this case, Paul has already been to Ephesus. We find in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, as he is giving his farewell address to the elders of the Ephesian church. He didn't go back to Ephesus to deliver this, but rather he was in Miletus. He called for the elders of the church at Ephesus, and then he, when they gather together, he gives a farewell. But during that farewell address, he says that he has, well, in verse 31, he says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul had spent about 3 years in Ephesus. Most would say that he pastored the church there. Whether he did or not, he has been there for 3 years and ministered among them. Okay, let's begin now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." You'll notice several things about verse 1. He introduces himself here in verse 1 as an apostle of Jesus Christ. That is not too different from his introductions in any of his other writings, though here he says an apostle of Jesus Christ as opposed to, as in many of his books, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. The word apostle, ambassador, one who is sent with a message or orders to execute, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, you will notice, by the will of God. Now, I emphasize that, maybe underline it, if you will, by the will of God. This is not an office that he has taken on himself. This is not an office that he was elected to. He was sent out, you'll remember, by the church in Jerusalem on the various missionary journeys, but you will notice, please, that God is the author of this call. You will notice it says, by the will of God. Now, he addresses it, he says, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the word faithful comes from a Greek word that means time proven. The character is such that over a period of time, there can be no question about the nature of the people involved. Now, he says here, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace, those two are always in the same order in any of Paul's writings. We find here, he says, grace be to you and peace. As I've pointed out in the past, there can be no real peace until an individual has been touched by and responded positively to the grace of God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we back up just a moment, there's one thing I neglected here in verse 1. He says, "to the faithful in Christ Jesus." I suspect we are looking here at a diversified audience. In his mind, he knows that the church in Ephesus is going to read this, but he also knows that, as with so many of his letters, whether he gives specific instructions or not, these letters are circulated among other congregations. And so he addresses, first of all, to the home bodies, if you will, there in Ephesus, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I see those perhaps as being beyond the congregation in Ephesus, though indeed the church at Ephesus had been of a time-proven character. They were faithful in Christ Jesus. But you'll find that the scripture is for a much broader audience than might be anticipated simply from the address or the name of a particular book. For instance, the Epistle to the Galatians, in our study of that several months ago, there was no city called Galatia, but rather there was an entire geographical area which bore that name, and there were many congregations throughout that area. We are not looking here at something that is just a narrow or limited target audience, whether it's this book or any of the books of the New Testament. You will find that there were other correspondences that were sent between Paul and other of the apostles, back and forth between congregation and apostle, but only these that are included in the Scripture, in the canon of Scripture, were recognized as being inspired by God, and as such are intended for Christianity as a whole, to every believer. All right, in verse 2 he said, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now you notice verse 3 does not end with a period. We are going to have to continue further to get the full impact of what he's saying, but let's take it one verse at a time for convenience sake. You'll notice he says that the Father hath blessed us. Sometimes I think Christians have a tendency to oversimplify their relationship with God. I'm not advocating that it ought to be viewed as something very complicated, but there are some basic things that every Christian should be aware of. Number one, our salvation is granted to us by God the Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the author and finisher of our salvation. Yet salvation belongeth unto the Lord, the Scripture says. You remember that when the Lord taught his disciples to pray, he said, "When ye pray, pray thus," and the prayer was directed to the Father. Now I realize little children so often will, as they're saying their nightly prayers, "Dear Jesus, bless Mommy and Daddy," etc., and they direct the prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you should, whip out the lectern and deliver a lecture on there on the proper address of the prayer. But at some point, things need to be clarified for a child. And I'm not just going to say this for the sake of children. I find many adults who are believers who will also address their prayers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said you address your prayers to the Father in Jesus' name. I don't want to make a huge issue out of that, but I think it's worth noting. And here you'll notice we see this division. We are not talking about the same individual here. God the Father and God the Son are two distinctly different personalities. Both God, both one with the other, but distinctly different in their roles and offices. You'll notice here that the Father hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I make mention of this simply because there are heresies abroad, false teachings that sound pretty good to the uninitiated, to those who are babes in Christ, or to those who are not well grounded in the Word of God. There is a distinction. This doctrine that's sometimes referred to as the oneness, or the doctrine of oneness, is little more than the wind addressing change on a heresy from back in the Middle Ages that was known under the title of modalism. The fact that God the Father really was God the Son, he just, like changing hats, if you will. God was the Father, then he switched roles and became God the Son, and then he set that persona aside and he became God the Holy Spirit. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't take an ivory tower theologian. It doesn't take somebody who can quote the entire Bible to figure out, even with a cursory reading of the scripture, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, while they are all divine and while there is a unity among them, a triunity, if you will, there is the specific evidence that they are separate. For instance, I mean, why would the Lord go to the trouble in the process of inspiring the individuals to write the scripture if he were one and the same? And I mean, why mix the terminology? Especially, say, when, for instance, at our Lord's baptism, the Father speaks from heaven, the Son has just been baptized, and the Holy Spirit descends on him in a physical form as a dove, and all three present at the same place. Now, it's hair splitting. It is dodging. It is unethical. It's sidestepping the issue. I've had people say to me, well, it says there was a voice from heaven. It didn't say it was God the Father. Okay, so who was it? Who was it who said, this is my Son? I mean, the usage of the terminology Son demands, obviously, either a father or a mother. No one else can get away with terminology like that. And we do not find mother being referred to as an individual in heaven. So we are stuck with the Father. Now, let's come back to this. You'll notice here in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, perhaps you have a Bible that in the margin, there will be a note there that says that the word places, and in most Bibles I believe you'll find the word places appears in italics print, indicating that the publisher, when this was published, recognized that the word places was not in the original and therefore is inserted to give clarity to what's being said. It could also be the word things. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly things in Christ Jesus. Places or things is immaterial. You will notice that it is in Christ. The Father blesses us with all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Now, it is through Jesus Christ that these blessings are accessible. It is in Jesus Christ that they are obtainable. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, if you do not know Him personally, you see, then all of these spiritual blessings have nothing to do with you if you are not in Christ. The terminology the Scripture uses is never by coincidence. It's never happenstance. It's never just, oh, well, that's just kind of the way it came out, and so that's the way He wrote it down. No, it is specific. Now you notice verse 3 continues. The sentence in verse 3 continues into verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now you'll notice, and my time is nearly gone, that according as He hath chosen us, He did the choosing. Don't give Him reason to repent Him of that choice. My time is gone. We'll have to come back to this tomorrow, and we'll pick it up here in Ephesians chapter 1, starting with, oh, let's say, verse 4 in the morning. I hope you'll join me then, 9 o'clock, for the next edition of The Bible Says. See you then.